You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Her Money is proudly sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. When life gives us a financial windfall, first comes gratitude. Then comes financial planning. Because being empowered with our money is everything. To learn more, visit planefe.com/hermoney and schedule your complimentary wealth checkup today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Jean Chatsky. Thanks so much for joining me today for a special bonus mailbag edition of the Her Money podcast, where we are answering all of your questions about something that has been in the news and on our minds a lot lately: student loans. With student loan repayment on a COVID-induced pause over the past few years, borrowers were able to breathe some significant relief. Unfortunately, those days are over. Student loan repayment will resume again in just a few weeks, starting October 1st, and so will the stress that comes along for the ride. As of March 2023, Americans collectively owed an estimated $1.78 trillion in student debt. And maybe not surprisingly, about 54% of borrowers say they've experienced mental health challenges due to the amount they owe. That's terrible. To those holding out hope for President Biden's proposal to cancel up to $20,000 in student debt per borrower, the recent Supreme Court verdict putting the kibosh on that was undoubtedly a blow. But there are other alternatives. The Biden administration recently launched a beta application for its new income-driven repayment plan called SAVE, which stands for Saving on a Valuable Education Plan. We'll talk through what that may mean for you. We also know that with all of these changes underfoot, you have questions, not the least of which is how to budget for an expense you haven't had to think about for a while. That's why I asked Tara Siegel-Bernard to sit down with me today and talk student loan forgiveness, repayment, 529s, and so much more. I know you are all familiar with Tara. She's an amazing reporter for the New York Times. She has spent over a decade covering personal finance for all the major publications on the planet, the Wall Street Journal, CNBC, and others. She's been diving deep on all of these student loan issues and what they mean for your wallet. Tara, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Can we just start by recapping, as if we were a sports show, what has happened since President Biden's proposal failed in the Supreme Court?
Sure. A lot has happened, actually. Right after the Supreme Court canceled cancellation, the question became, well, now what? What does this mean for me? And what sort of relief will they offer as a result? People had come to count on this. They had their hearts and budgets set on it. So the question was, what is the administration going to do to alleviate the stress? And there were actually a flurry of announcements right after the Supreme Court made its decision. The first was repayment. We knew that payments were going to become due again in October, but the administration said that they were going to provide an on-ramp, a gentler way to kind of ease back into payments. So if you missed a payment any time from October through September, you won't be considered delinquent. The next piece was the new SAVE program, this new loan repayment plan that will lower borrower payments by as much as half. And we now know that's going to be partially ready by the time repayment resumes. That wasn't entirely clear, but now it seems at least part of that's going to be ready. And then after that, there was yet another announcement that there's a payment recount effort going on, which we can talk a little bit more about later, where people might get extra credit or extra payments counted towards their overall tally, which might bring them closer to forgiveness in certain income-driven repayment programs, the regular standard program. And then lastly, we heard the Biden administration isn't entirely giving up on cancellation. They're trying other avenues, but I wouldn't hold my breath. That would be yet another tough road.
Okay. Wow. That was a great recap, actually. I think if you're a believer in repayment, it's great that they're not giving up. But I agree. I think maybe we got out over our skis a little bit too far by assuming that this was going to come through the first time.
Exactly.
So we've got questions from our Her Money community, from our listeners. And if it's okay with you, we'll just dive into those.
That sounds great.
Great. So the first question is a three-parter. And it comes from Kayla. She writes, "Hi, Her Money team. Number one, will interest begin to accrue from the time payments pick back up, or are they backdating all the interest that would have been due had there been no pause to repayment?" You know what? Let's take these one by one. I think it's just going to be easier for people to follow.
Sure. Okay. So just to back up for a moment, interest hasn't been accruing since March of 2020. So it was essentially like the government had pressed the pause button on your payment, and it was like the loans were frozen in time, including the interest. So yeah, like they were frozen. Now they're defrosting quickly, and interest will begin to accrue again on September 1st. They're not backdating the interest. The interest that would have accrued is not going to be owed, but it will begin again on September 1st, and then payments become due sometime in October, depending on your previous plan. You have to call your servicer to find out exactly when, but yeah, that's the good news.
Okay, part two. Are there a smaller pool of people who still qualify for forgiveness? And if so, what are the requirements? Will these people be required to apply separately, or are they automatically contracted by their loan servicer?
That's actually a great question, because there is a smaller pool who will qualify. And it's not so small. It's about 800,000 borrowers. So that's a nice amount. So last month, the Biden administration said it would wipe away $39 billion for those 800,000 borrowers as part of a program to correct old errors. The loan servicers had been not entirely doing their jobs. The companies that handle your loans and collect payments, they were poorly administering the loans in some cases, miscounting the number of payments, not giving credit where credit is due. So now, as part of this program, the Biden administration is trying to go back and give people credit for payments in both the standard repayment programs and in their income-driven repayment programs, which means that federal borrowers might see their loan payment count go up. So that would either push them closer to the finish line, and 800,000 people will be pushed to the finish line.
And how will you know if you're one of them, I think, is the other part.
Okay, right. They're going to reach out to you directly. And these letters or notices, I'm not sure if they're snail mail or email, hopefully both, they're contacting you automatically. So you won't have to do anything.
Oh, that's good.
And they're doing it in batches. So the first batch has already gone out. People are already being notified. And that's going to continue. If you don't hear in October or November, you still might be getting notice through the end of the year. And it's people with direct loans, loans made through the Federal Family Educational Loan Program, and Parent Plus loans. So it's everybody.
Okay, fantastic. Third part. Could you go over any specific or special programs toward forgiveness that people might not know, such as having a government position for a certain number of years?
Sure. That sounds like the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program.
To me, too.
Yeah. And that's the program where they provide federal loan borrowers with tax-free loan forgiveness after they've made the 120 payments in an income-driven repayment program. But you need to qualify. And that's been a big problem in the past, because it was another poorly administered program, and the Biden administration is trying to make fixes to that. But to qualify, you need to meet a few requirements. You need to have a full-time qualifying job. Say you're a public school teacher, or you work for some other governmental unit or organization, a nonprofit organization with tax-exempt status also qualifies. You need to have the right kind of loan. You need to have a direct loan loan, and you need to be in the right kind of payment program. So you need to be in one of the income-driven repayment programs, including the new save.
Fantastic. And can I just say, I actually credit you and your colleague, Ron Lieber, with the fact that the government has gotten its act together with public service loan forgiveness. You guys were on them and writing and writing. And I don't really think that they would have come around and fixed this had you and the New York Times not held their feet to the fire. So people owe you a debt of gratitude for that.
Yeah, Ron Lieber. If you want to know more about the program, I would Google Ron Lieber and public service loan forgiveness, because he has written a lot about, as he described, the relief for the relief program, because it was a mess ever since it was introduced in 2007, and they're still working on cleaning it up.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you for that. Okay. This is from Sarah T., and she writes, based on everything I'm reading, if you qualify for the SAVE program, then no interest will be charged beyond the amount paid if you pay the minimum due under REPAY, and REPAY was the prior program. Thus, it makes sense to only pay the minimum and work to grow savings and pay down other debts while SAVE is in effect, as anything additional that is paid would just go to interest anyway, interest that would not be charged if no additional payment was made. She's asking, is this correct? How long will SAVE be in effect? Who qualifies for the program? And is everyone currently in REPAY eligible for this program? So I think it would be helpful to take a step back and just talk about SAVE and how it actually is going to work.
That's a great idea. Yeah. So SAVE is one of the income-driven repayment programs where your payment is based on a percentage of your discretionary income and your family size. And after you make payments for 10 or 20 years, the balance is forgiven. And SAVE is an improvement over the old prior programs because it's going to cut many borrowers' payments by half. Undergraduate borrowers are going to pay 5% of their income, down from 10% of the in the existing REPAY program, so half, and 15% in other plans. And that's for undergraduate borrowers. Graduate borrowers are going to pay 10% of their income in this new SAVE program, so they pay a little bit more. And if you have both grad and undergrad, you'll pay 5 on undergrad, 10 on grad, and they'll weight it, and your payment will be a weighted average of all of that. So another piece of this that makes your payments less is that when they're calculating your payment, a piece of it is shielded from repayment. So money that the government thinks you need to pay for food, for housing, for clothing, it's not a lot. But they do take an amount, which is 150% of the poverty level under the old REPAY, and say, we're not going to look at that. We're going to base your payment on the money after that, above that. So under the old program, it was 150% of the poverty level. Under the new SAVE program, it's 225% of the poverty level. So it just means that 5% of your payment, which is 5% of your discretionary income, is just going to be on a kind of smaller pool of your income. So in effect, it makes your payment less, if that makes sense.
Great. And as far as her specific questions go, is there a deadline on SAVE? Is she understanding it correctly? And who is going to qualify and who's not?
Sure. Well, if you're in the existing REPAY program, you'll be automatically swept over. And as long as you have a direct loan, you qualify for the program. We'll talk about her understanding of interest in a second. But if you are a borrower with a federal undergraduate or graduate loan, you qualify. Parent PLUS loans do not qualify, unfortunately. They're still stuck with the income contingent repayment program, which is much more expensive and not great. So those are the folks who are eligible. But as far as her understanding of how the interest works, she was saying, like, do you have an option of not paying the interest you can't afford? And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. But the way the interest is treated in this plan is more favorable. In most of the existing plans, if you have a payment that's not large enough to cover the interest you owe, that interest doesn't go away. It continues, it's tacked onto your balance, it grows over time. And that's why you see so many people, like, who religiously make payments. at the same time, they see their balances growing and growing. And it's just like psychologically, like, I'm making payments, yet my balance is continuing to balloon. What's happening here? That's not going to happen in this new plan, because if your payment doesn't cover the interest that's accruing behind the scenes, it's just going to fall away. So if your interest payment is like $50 a month, but your payment only covers $30 of it, that $20 is not going to be added to your loan balance as it was.
Right. And that's a big relief for people, because I think seeing the ballooning balances was a big factor that just added to that level of stress. People were like, the government is letting me do this. I'm paying what you're telling me to pay. And yet, this is what's happening on the side.
Absolutely. I know. I've talked to a lot of borrowers over the years who are just like, will it really be forgiven in the end? Like, how do I trust that? And it's just getting bigger and bigger. You're kind of stuck in the program. Anyway, it's a big improvement.
We have a few more questions for Tara Siegel-Bernard, but we're going to take a quick break. Her Money is proudly sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. We save and invest for our financial futures because we know that even though the future may be uncertain, planning is everything. Sometimes in life, we enjoy financial windfalls too. We may gain an inheritance, liquidate a business, or receive a monetary gift or a settlement. Even in these days of more mega million jackpots than ever, we may win the lottery. When this happens, we all want to make the most out of every dollar we've been given, and we can. Learn more at planefe.com/hermoney and schedule your complimentary wealth checkup today.
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. We are talking all things student loans, answering your questions with Tara Siegel-Bernard from the New York Times. Here's a question. This one comes from Sarah. She says, I'm a big fan of the show. Thanks for all you do. We love to hear that. So thank you very much. What can you tell me about repaying student loans directly from a 529? Are there any suggestions on accessing funds from a plan? I think a lot of people don't know that you can do this at all.
Yeah, I think that's right. Just to take another step back, with a 529, you deposit money you've already paid taxes on. It grows tax-free and can be withdrawn tax-free as long as you use the money for eligible expenses. And some states allow you to take a tax deduction, but those rules vary. And there is this newish rule, maybe one or two, it's like only a couple of years old, that does indeed allow you to take up to $10,000 and use that to pay student loans for the account's beneficiary, and up to another $10,000 if you have that much for a sibling. So I guess her plan here was to link the You Promise Awards account, which gives you money for certain purchases, right? Rewards, and then direct that money into a 529, which can then be used for a student loan. If you need to withdraw the money right away, there won't be a lot of time for it to grow, you know, if you're investing it. But I guess it depends on your time horizon. If you have 10 years of loan payments, you can let that money sit and grow and use it in the last years of repayment, right?
Yeah. And I've actually moved money. I was in on You Promise very, very early. And so I moved money from a You Promise account into my kids' 529s years ago and didn't pay for a lot of college, but paid for some books. So that was great. All right. We've got a great question from Hannah. She asks about refinancing. And she says, hi, Tara and Jean. I keep getting emails from SoFi about refinancing student loans. Thoughts on this? My goal would be to pay them off faster. For reference, I owe just under $28,000 and the loan servicer is Advantage. Thanks.
That's a great question. There's a lot to consider in this kind of decision, right? The first is the most obvious. Are they actually going to offer you a better rate? We've been in a really low environment up until a year or so ago, and the going rates are a lot higher now. And federal loans have been pretty reasonable with a low rate environment. So the first step would be to go back and do some data collection, check all of your loans, and make sure you have a good handle on the rate you're actually paying. Graduate debt is usually a little bit higher rate than undergraduate debt. And you also might have multiple rates if you haven't consolidated because everybody's taking out new batches of loans every year. So once you have a handle on that, you want to see what rate you'd qualify for at SoFi. Their advertised rate isn't necessarily the one that you're going to qualify for. And they're going to look at your credit history. And if that's, you know, less than pristine, that could add to your rate and bump it up a little bit. The next thing you want to think about is whether it's a fixed rate or a variable rate. If rates continue to rise a bit, so can your loan. And one of the biggest downsides to consider before moving forward is that with a federal loan, it comes with a series of protections, including these income-driven repayment programs and things like public service loan forgiveness. With the income-driven programs, if you can't pay down your loan for whatever reason, you've been laid off, you have a decline in household income, just something, a medical issue, you no longer have access to those safety net programs. And they also allow you to put your loans in deferment or forbearance. So before you do that, you want to think about that seriously. And you also want to look at the fine print of the SoFi loans. Like, what happens if you lose your job? Will they offer forbearance? Is that written in stone? Can they change the rules at any time? A lot of banks and financial institutions can and will. And one thing that I had remembered, there's one little nugget of news that people will find interesting. SoFi sued the federal government earlier this year to lift the payment pause because it was hurting their business. So you just want to make sure it's smart for you because, you know, their business has been hurting.
I just want to unpack that for a second. Do you think it was hurting because of the pause because people were just not refinancing and consolidating, right? They didn't have to pay their loans. So why would they consolidate with a private lender?
Exactly. So their business was, I guess, put on pause, right?
Basically. We're going to take a quick break.
Dive into the heart of crime with Foul Play Crime Series. Immerse yourself in the most perplexing cases where each twist and turn is more baffling than the last. With riveting storytelling and detailed analysis, Foul Play brings the unsolved and unexplained to life, captivating your imagination. Listen to Foul Play Crime Series now, where every story is a puzzle waiting to be solved.
Hey there, listeners. It's Nima Gobier. I'm the co-host of Mindshift, the podcast where we explore the future of learning and how we raise our kids.
I don't teach math. I don't teach reading. I teach people.
You'll hear from teachers, parents, researchers, and students as we uncover innovative approaches in and out of the classroom.
It holds a lot about how we want students and young people to move through the world, how we want to set them up for success.
Find Mindshift wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. We've got one more question. This one comes from Angela, and she says, hey, Jean, would it be good to make a lump payment if I have it before September 1st? Is there a calculator that can help me see how effective that payment would be? And can you just talk about when it would make sense to do this in general?
Sure. If you've been saving during the pause, I've heard that a lot of people were saving money in interest-bearing accounts and waiting to see what might happen. So if you've been saving money all along and you have an emergency fund already, this isn't such a bad idea. It always feels good to get ahead of the game, but you want to consider all the factors. How much is your money going to be earning elsewhere? And how much are you paying on your loans? If you took out your loans when rates were low, maybe 2, 3, 4%, you might want to think about putting that money to work even in a high-yield savings account that's paying 5%, right? Or in the market. Again, if you have multiple loans, you want to make sure if you do decide to go ahead and make the prepayment, you want to make sure you're putting that money towards the principal of the loan with the highest interest rate. And it's probably helpful to Google loan prepayment calculator, and you'll find a ton of calculators where you can run your own numbers.
So helpful. All of these answers have been so helpful. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me. It was great to be here.
And if our listeners want to keep up with you, if they want to follow you on social or if they want to read more of your stuff, where should they go and do that?
Well, they can find my page at thenewyorktimes.com, and I'm on X at Tara S. Bernard.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you've got a question for our mailbag, please send it our way at mailbag@hermoney.com. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our show at Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. We love hearing what you think. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Edelman Financial Engines and BCU. This show is produced by Haley Pascalides with help from the Her Money team. Her Money is mixed and mastered by CDM Sound Studios. Our music is provided by Video Helper, and our show comes to you through Megaphone. This podcast is also part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. You can find us and other shows like us at airwavemedia.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk soon.